Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Diamond Discussion Podcast alongside my co-host Joe Stumpo. I'm Mike Caliendo. Listen, before we reveal any trivia answers or talk about scores and our teams for the weekend, Joe wanted to lead off with something. So, Joe, by all means, take it away.
Hey guys, what's going on? I hope everybody's well. I just wanted to shout out the Mets organization for adding Miller Gardner into their memoriam celebration on opening day. What they do is that they just shout out all the people that they lost within the organization the year prior, and they added Miller Gardner to that list. And I thought that was a real class move by the Cohens and the Mets organization. I know Brett Gardner had no stint with the Mets. He had no connection to the Mets, and they added him anyway. So I really did think that was a classy move. Miller Gardner unfortunately passed away at the age of 14 from carbon monoxide poisoning. Our thoughts and prayers are with the family always. And I also want to just shout out the Cohens and the Mets organization for adding him in. Like I said, I thought it was a real classy move to start off the opening day weekend there.
Yeah, you know, I was watching opening day and I was a little surprised to see that. But, you know, once it like settled and I realized, like, wait a minute, the Cohens are running the show here. This is what they do. You know, this just shows the classiness of this organization now, at least with them at the helm. And, you know, I was very surprised to see it, but also very happy that, you know, listen, they could take away from all the New York stuff and the back and forth and all the fun stuff that we do with Mets and Yankees fans. And, that, you know, listen, they realize, and I think all of us do, that, listen, some things are just bigger than baseball. And, you know, you got to put all that stuff to the side. And
yeah, I agree. Yep.
Yeah. Like you said, a very classy thing that they did. And I was, you know, very happy to see that. So I'll also a shout out to the Cohens for that. That was spectacular. But moving on to our trivia. Guys, listen, I love the engagement. I love everything about it. You guys got to step it up a little bit. You guys got to step it up. Use Google.
But, right. Yeah. But so we only had one person. We had one person that was on the fence.
Yes.
And they were the closest ones of anybody. So
Gabe had DM'd me privately and said he was between the right answer and Sammy Sosa. Now, to refresh your guys' memory, the question was, out of all the members of the 600 Home Run Club, who was the only one that did not win an MVP award? Now, our buddy Gabe, he was back and forth, like I said, about the correct answer in Sammy Sosa. And I had to remind him that Sosa won the MVP in 1998. And he goes, hold on a second. Sosa won the MVP the year Maguire broke the home run record? And I said, yeah.
Yeah.
He did. I said, dude, go back and look at his numbers. He was only four home runs away from Maguire. Outside of that, I believe his average, his RBIs, and runs scored were all higher. And I believe the Cubs finished better than them. But, yeah, Sosa ended up winning the MVP. So, Joe, who's the guy that didn't win the award?
So when I first heard the answer, I was a little shocked myself. I thought he would have stuck at least one in somewhere in his career. But the answer is Jim Thome. Jim Thome has never won an MVP, and he's got 600 plus homers. So there's your answer for this week, this week's trivia. And like I said, our friend Gabe was the only one that, even though he was on the fence, he was the closest one. So we do appreciate that you guys aren't using Google. We really do, because obviously you can get these answers very, very easily. We do appreciate it, but you guys got to try to dig deeper. We know you can do it.
I think we have a good trivia question that we're going to reveal not now, at the end, as you guys know. I don't know. I hope that was a little bit of a build there. But, my biggest thing with this question was I thought a lot of people, I feel like they forget that Thome has 600 plus.
I could see that. But I think, you know what? People like close to our age, I think they would remember. Like if they follow the game, they would know that he has 600. I think maybe the younger generation is not too privy that Thome does have 600.
Yeah, maybe that's the thing. Because I've gone through this with a few people before, and Tomey's always like the last name mentioned of, 600 plus. So I figured that was going to be the thing. But hey, listen, guys, again, we appreciate the engagement with these. despite the fact that some of you are texting and DMing us and yelling at us for these questions, we love it. So we're going to keep doing it. And like I said, I think we got a really good one this week. So you guys are going to have to wait and see. Hopefully you guys don't skip the rest of the episode to get to it. But look, you guys got plenty of time to think about it. And listen, even in the DMs, or like, I know nobody's putting it in the comments yet. And that could be you don't want to reveal the answer, and that's totally fine. But I will say this, you know, look, you have plenty of time, let it swirl around a little bit. And if you guys reach out to us in a DM and you say, hey, listen, I think it's this, but don't tell me yet. That's totally fine. We won't reveal it until the episode. So you guys have until then. But we're going to move on now, to the Yankees, to your Yankees. Listen, they had a nice series in Pittsburgh. Joe, tell us about it.
Yeah, so they took 2 out of 3. Unfortunately, they were very close to sweeping. They had a ninth inning, you know, on Sunday where they were literally 1 out away of losing the game and had a 2-out rally and scored 3 runs. And it was with the bottom of the lineup, which was very, you know, nice to see. Trent Grisham is playing out of his mind right now. He's literally almost hitting .500. It's pretty wild, the production he's been able to give us at the plate along with his solid defense. Yeah, and Max Fried was able to get his first win as a Yankee. He went 5 2/3, 1 earned, 1 walk, 6 Ks, 6 hits. So that's good to see that his control was in order. And Will Warren. Will Warren, I'm not gonna say anything bad about it. It was a gritty start. He had a bad third and fourth inning. He only had 1 walk, so his control was good as well. He had 5 Ks in those 4 innings, so he was able to get the strikeout pitch going. But he left some pitches up in the zone and he was getting tagged a little bit. And I don't care if it's against Pittsburgh or the Dodgers. If you leave pitches up in the zone, hitters are gonna hit this, you know, hit those pitches. Professional hitters are gonna find a way to get the bat to the ball. So he's just gotta find a better way to utilize some of his pitches and not hang some of his pitches. Other than that, the bullpen was great. The offense was good as a whole. You know, guys like Paul Goldschmidt and Ben Rice were hitting over 300 coming into this series, with multiple walks and multiple hit games under their belts. And we also won 2 games without Bellinger, so that was a good thing to see. And Bellinger came back today and he added a hit. Other than that, the bullpen was great. The starting pitching was very good. And like I said, we just couldn't get it done to get the sweep. But I'll take the 2 out of 3 and head into Detroit. We're facing some good pitching there. We got Corey Mize in the first game, and then Tarik Skubal in the second game. So we'll see what we have to offer in those 2 games against a pretty hot Detroit team right now.
Yeah, it should be an interesting series. Overall, I mean, I was relatively impressed with you guys. Your pitching has looked good. Listen, you're getting some timely hitting, obviously. Some guys that, like you said, Grisham, for example, is playing way over his head right now. I mean, this guy hasn't hit above the Mendoza line in 3 seasons, and he's hitting nearly .500 right now.
Yeah.
So that's
Jason Dominguez looked really good too. I want to shout him out. He's been looking great on the base paths as well. That's refreshing to see, is that we have some guys that know how to run the bases, and he's got some speed too, and he reads balls off the bat very, very well. And you know, he had some balls that were hit to left field, and he was on second, and he knew they were going to land, and he was already off and running. So it was good to see that he has some baseball IQ on the base pit. So that was good to see. It's nice and refreshing to see that he had a decent offensive weekend in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and listen, obviously, playing a team like Pittsburgh, you want to try and get away with a sweep in that scenario. It didn't work out, but you guys fought hard till the end. You forced extra innings, and it just, you know, it didn't work out. Tommy Pham ended up walking it off with a hit. It was just, listen, the outfielders were in. He hit it over their head. Guys on third. Yeah. There was nothing could be done in that situation. It is what it is. But like I said, overall, I've been impressed, especially with your pitching outside of Warren today, really. I think you guys have been really, really solid in that aspect. Could you imagine losing Luis Hill and Garrett Cole and still be up there pitching-wise?
And Clark Schmidt.
Yeah. You guys have taken a beating in the rotation. You guys have responded well, at least to start the year. So that's definitely refreshing. And your lineup is, for the most part, clicking on all cylinders. So it's definitely, you guys got to be excited. You know, like you said, you guys start out now 6-3.
Yeah,
going
6-3
into the Detroit series.
Yeah, so I'm very pleased. And, you know, the reports are saying that Clark Schmidt should be coming back very soon too. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, 6-3 going into this Detroit series is where we want to be right now. So the balls are now caught to just keep playing well.
Yeah. Hey, guys, listen, in the comment section of the podcast or on the corresponding posts on Instagram or Twitter, I know you guys hear this spiel every time, multiple times, but I'm going to keep reminding you. Diamond Discussions 25 on Instagram and Twitter. Leave us some comments there or just the comments of the podcast itself. Let us know what your thoughts are on the Yankees and their weekend and maybe the start to their season. Are you happy? Are you sad? Are you indifferent? What's been your biggest surprise? Whatever it may be, whatever your thoughts are. We love to hear it. We love the engagement. So we encourage you guys to do it, and it gives us more to talk about. But we're gonna move on to my guys now across town. The Mets had their opening weekend. They swept the Blue Jays, so they did you thank guys you. A favor.
Yeah, yeah, no, thank listen, you.
You are very welcome. I will take that. Listen, look, if you would have told me 9 games into the season that I don't want to say carried, but for lack of a better term, that the Mets pitching staff from starters to bullpen basically carried them to a 6-3 start, I'd be like, yeah, really? Okay, I'll take it. I'll take it.
I wouldn't have expected it either, so yeah.
Little surprise. Listen, the offense in some aspects has looked anemic for the most part, but they've gotten some big hits when needed. In Saturday's game, Jesse Winker did his best version of playing MLB The Show on rookie difficulty. he hit 2 triples and a double, and his second triple was actually game-tying. He drove in 2 runs on that, so I thought that was honestly spectacular. And this guy lives for these moments, and this is exactly why I wanted them to bring him back. He feeds into this type of stuff, so I was very happy to see that from him. Soto off to a somewhat of a slow start, even though he's gotten on base, I think, in every single game so far to start the year. But the average isn't up, and it kind of looks like he might be pressing a little bit. I think he's, you know, he just new scenery, all that. I'm not really taking much into it because it's Juan Soto.
It's the first week of April. I think he'll be fine.
Lindor starts off the year slow every year, and he's somewhat doing that, but it seems like he's coming out of it. He got another hit today, so that was encouraging. My biggest thing with the offense, at least, I know I gave him some flack in the opening a series against Houston. Brandon Nimmo, maybe you're a listener, and if you are, that is fantastic. I'm a huge fan of yours, but he has seem to have transformed into the Brandon Nimmo that I love to see. The guy that works count and is a pest in the middle of the lineup. And it's exactly what he's doing. He's worked a ton of 3-2 counts, and he's working deep. He's fouling off some tough pitching. So I'm very happy to see that. He's had some timely hitting. He drove in a run today on a sac fly, so that was nice to see. And Pete Alonso on the offensive side has looked like the right-handed version of Juan Soto. He is working 3-2 counts like you wouldn't believe. He's fought back multiple times being down 0-2. And the biggest thing is he's laying off of that slider tailing away from him thrown by righties. That has been my biggest thing with him. That was my biggest issue with him at the plate, is he always chased that pitch. And he seems to be laying off. That outside corner is not, you know, he has a phenomenal eye to start the year. I'm very happy.
Yeah, he looks like he's utilizing the strike zone to his you know, ability. That's what you want to see. And even though the Mets offense hasn't been clicking to, you know, on all cylinders, the fact that the pitching has kept him in games is, you know, very nice to see. Because you would think that the offense was going to be, the side that was going to be fueling most of the success, and right now it's the opposite, and that's good to see that the pitching is holding up while the Mets still kind of figure it out offensively. So obviously when they, you know, get the ball rolling and score more runs, that'll take pressure off the pitching. But to see that the pitching early on has been able to keep them in ball games, and they swept an okay team in the Blue Jays, it's good to see that your bullpen and your starting pitching is keeping you in the games, and you could win a game 2-1. You know what I mean? Even looking anemic the first 8 innings, and you get a couple of hits in the eighth, and you solidify a win that maybe you didn't think was gonna even happen. So it's good to see that the pitching has really showed up.
Yeah, and you know what? Even in Saturday's game, like I said, with Winker's game tying triple, Bassett owned them, and he's owned the Mets since he's left. And he had them in a blender pretty much. He was mixing in his 69 mile an hour curveball, mixing in his fastball. He was just he was all over the place, and the Mets couldn't get to him. That was a nice come from behind win, and I'll take the sweep and holding Toronto to 3 runs over the 3 games. I'll take it because they got a shutout in Friday's game. But overall, I mean, the bullpen has been spectacular. The starting pitching, I would like a little more length out of some of the guys. Canning went four innings on Saturday, and Peterson went four and two-thirds today. There was a little bit of a thing with him before he left the game, so the training staff had come out to check on him, and you know, obviously everybody's speculating about whether or not he had an injury, because the training staff came out, he threw a couple of practice pitches, whatever it was. He faced a batter, I believe he gave up a hit. Hefner came out, spoke to him, he walked the next guy, and then they took him out of the game. And watching the live comments and everything happening throughout that game, people were freaking out, why is he staying in? He's clearly, something's wrong with him. According to Mendoza, it was somewhat of an illness thing. He was experiencing some sense of nausea. So, I mean, listen, I'll take nausea over an arm problem any day of the week.
You don't want to be another pitcher on the IL, my God.
No, yeah, of course. but listen, overall in this series, the Mets bullpen has only given up a run. So that was great. And that was by Budo yesterday. But
and like, again, that's refreshing to see.
Yeah, their bullpen has been lights out. And honestly, this kid Kranick is amazing so far. I love what I'm seeing from him. Even in the Houston series, he came up in a big spot, got through some tough hitters in Yordan and Christian Walker. And in this series, listen, he pitched 3 1/3, and he's only given up a hit in the Toronto series, so it was very good to see from him. Minter has looked good. Diaz was a little shaky to end the game today, hit two batters in the ninth, but other than that, I've been relatively happy with this pitching staff. And do you believe me yet? And how much I keep talking about Jeremy Hefner? Do you see it now? I mean,
listen, it's we're a weekend. Yeah, all right, listen, all right. And listen. Even last year, the proof was last year. I wasn't second guessing him. I was second guessing the talent that's on the team. Jeremy Hefner could do whatever he can. He can only work his magic so many ways with a guy like Griffin Canning and converting Holmes into a starter. His plate was more full this year than I think it was last year, especially with Nomanaya now. So he's really got to work his magic. But yes, like I said, it's refreshing to see that their starting pitching and their bullpen has kept them in games, and you're not getting, you know, battered around right now, especially with the offense not being able to click on all cylinders. So it's refreshing to see that you could win these close games 2-1 early in the year, 3-2. You know, that's testing the bullpen and the starting pitching. And like I said, you guys looked anemic for 8 innings the other night, and you were able to scratch out a win. And that's gonna mean something in July and August.
Yeah, I think so. So listen, we're getting Miami again. They're coming into town. So I would love a sweep at home. That would be nice to, you know, win 6 straight at home. That would be a beautiful thing. But hey, guys, listen, in the comment section, corresponding post, Diamond Discussion 25, Instagram and Twitter. Mets fans, give us your thoughts. What do you think? What are you happy about? What are you upset about so far with this team? What do you want to see more of or less of or whatever it might be, whatever it is? Listen, we love the engagement. We would love to talk about it. So, guys, please give us your thoughts on that. Moving on to our next thing, some dollar amounts have been thrown out there. We got some extensions going on in Major League
Baseball. Oh, it was very busy this week, past week with the extensions. We got Ketel Marte, who was the first one to go. He actually gets a 6-year deal, $116 million. He actually deferred $46 million of that, so he pulled a page out of the Dodgers book. That deal's going to run through.
So, yeah, I guess.
I guess it's an NL West stipulation. You have to defer some money. But that deal's going to run through 2031 and actually replaces a 5-year, $76 million deal that he signed previously. And unfortunately for him, he actually strained his hammy the day he signed the extension.
Yeah.
So I hopefully he gets back. I heard it wasn't too serious, so hopefully he gets back quickly and, you know, he can start producing the way he does. But the next guy to fall was Christian Campbell with the Red Sox. I thought this was very interesting. 8 years, $60 million. They lock him up. I thought it was a very good deal for both sides. It's good, you know, leaves flexibility for the Red Sox to, you know, sign him again in the next 8 years, and he'll still be young, and he'll even make some more money, hopefully. And I think it's a good deal for Campbell now. Well, like I said, he locks himself up for the, you know, it's the long term, but it's still the short term because he'll still be in his prime after this deal is done. And he'll set himself up for a second contract. So I think it offers, like I said, the organization some flexibility, and both sides are happy. So I think that was a good deal. And the biggest one, I think, right here that caused some controversy, Jackson Merrill, 9 years, $135 million. Well worth it. He's a solid ball player. The incentives in this deal were going to bring it to a $204 million. But The biggest controversy out of this deal is he threw some shots at some $700 million players that we have in the league. And the only two $700 million players that we can name are Juan Soto and Shohei Ohtani. And Mike, I know this hits a little bit more home for you because you have Soto that is one of the two guys that has one of those deals. So what did you? What was your take on this? Did you think that Merrill kind of threw shade at Ohtani and Soto? Was it more of a Ohtani thing because he plays in the same division as Ohtani? Or was it a shot at both Soto and Ohtani?
You know what? Reading his comments, and actually I saw the, you know, I saw the press conference. I saw the snippet of it at least. So just so you guys know, this is what he said. I think just hearing the opportunity to sign with the San Diego Padres was enough for me. You can't just sign for $700 million and expect everything to be perfect. Okay, so if that's a shot at Shohei Ohtani, it makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, they won the World Series.
Right, in his first season of that $700 million deal.
You want to talk about... And wins MVP, so you want to talk about... it's nothing short of perfect.
Right, so, like, I mean, if that's not perfect and getting $700 million, I don't know what is. On the other side of the coin now, if he's throwing shade or a shot at Soto, I really don't understand it. I mean, for what? It makes no sense to me. I mean, listen, you're a young kid in the game. You're an up-and-coming superstar, potentially. I think he's going to end up that way. I think the world of him is a ball player. I think he's a fantastic player. But what are you doing making comments like this? I mean, really, like, you want to be happy about your deal. That's all fine. Here's the reality of the situation. If you're going to throw shade at Juan Soto, I think you said, what, with incentives, it could get up to $200 million, is that
right? Yeah, 204. 204 maxes out, yeah.
Okay, maxes out at 204. So you realize somewhat around his age, Juan Soto turned down a deal that was double that. So
right.
What shots are you taking at this point? I really don't understand. It's a little ridiculous. I mean, look, you signed a deal, you're happy, you want to stay in San Diego. Keep it at that. I mean, maybe we're overreacting here and seeing that, but I just thought that was a little eye popping. It was like, really, this is what we're doing? Like,
well, he set himself up. He's the one that said it in his press conference. So he's the one that opened up those can of worms. I personally think it's more of a shot at Ohtani because when he said the words, everything is going to be perfect. I think he's taking a shot at Ohtani because everything is perfect in the terms that they've got a super team over there and they got the Avengers, playing
yeah,
over there.
Maybe.
And it's, you know, they're in the same division. So I want to say it's a shot more at Ohtani than it is at Soto. But like I said, it was definitely very weird. You just got paid very handsomely and take a shot at the two guys or potentially one guy. I don't know at this point that have $700 million contracts, but I don't see how that even plays a part in your deal when you could have just been very happy about signing for all this money. But I guess some people just need to be heard.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. In my opinion, I think it was a bonehead statement to make in reality because, again, what are you doing taking shots? Be happy with your team. Focus on you guys. There's really no reason for that. I don't know. Hey, guys, listen. What are your thoughts on it? You guys know what to do. You guys know where to go. Instagram, Twitter, Diamond Discussions 25. Or if you're too lazy to do all that, just simple in the comments section of the actual podcast. It's totally fine. We want to see it. We want to... see the engagement with you guys. You know, listen, we see the listens, so it'd be nice to hear from you and what you guys think on the matter, too. Are we just crazy? Are we picking at it a little too much? Or is there actually something there? But in another bonehead situation, we had Mr. Jerickson Profar over in Atlanta get suspended for PEDs. To me, my opinion, he's now suspended for 80 games. And if the 1-8 Braves should make the playoffs, and the numbers are not in their favor to do so, but if they were to make the playoffs, Profar would be ineligible because that comes along with the PED suspension, not just half the season for his first offense.
Right.
But listen, I'm very adamant on how I feel about any of the guys connected to steroids or anything about that. So that's neither here nor there for this. My biggest thing, and... I just genuinely, like, I felt like I've read this before, and I feel like it's out there, but Profar's statement regarding the situation, where he basically came out and he says, I would never knowingly do anything to cheat the game that I respect. I've been tested my entire career, including 8 times last season alone, and have never tested positive. I would never willingly take a banned substance, but I take full responsibility and accept MLB's decision. I'm sorry, what?
Right. What? So if you're claiming you're innocent, why would you accept the fate that you've been given? Wouldn't you want to fight it?
I mean, listen, here's my thing, and I feel like all of that, now I could be wrong. I'm going to have to obviously maybe dig a little bit, but my memory serves me. I feel like I've heard this before, and I feel like every one of these guys that get popped for PEDs, they all turn around and say, I would never knowingly put something in my body. It's all the same story. Listen, it doesn't matter what you say. You're still serving your suspension.
Right, and here's the thing. You're a coveted athlete, right? You're making millions of dollars, right? My thing is how do you not know what you're putting in your body?
That makes zero sense to me.
What he actually tested positive for is what they give pregnant women during their pregnancy.
Okay.
So let's say you didn't take steroids, right? And there was no HGH and all this stuff. What are you doing taking that? Right. Is it a mask? Now I'm thinking the MLB probably has it labeled as a masking agent. And I was reading something about how steroid users who are finishing a cycle take this HCG, I believe it is, and it's supposed to mask the use of performance enhancing drugs in your system. But
interesting.
You'll pop hot for HCG, and as a male, you shouldn't be taking stuff like this because it's for pregnant females.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
If you didn't take steroids, please explain to us why you were testing positive for substances that only a pregnant female could take.
Yeah, I don't.
It's just very like weird
said,
to me.
I think, like you said, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's been put out there that
they got private chefs. They got nutritionists.
Yeah,
you didn't know what you were putting into your system.
That makes no sense.
Unless you know what,
excuse is no good.
Unless you had somebody that was like like a nutritionist or whatever, or a wellness doctor, lied to you. That's the only other thing I could think of.
I mean, listen, if it's me and I'm going to any sense of a doctor to get anything prescribed, I have the full list of everything that I'm not allowed to take. Hand it to my doctor. Listen, whatever you're giving me, is any of this on it? I mean, is it really? If this is the game we're going to play and we'll take your word for it and say you really didn't know, which I'm sorry, I don't believe because you cheated the game. So, I mean, at this point, why not come out and say that you did what you did? Listen, he was in a contract year trying to get his money, get his bag. To me, it's just ridiculous at this point. I know MLB and the Players Association will never go down this road, but I think maybe it's something to look at that if a guy pops for PEDs, regardless of what they say that they didn't know and never would knowingly do it, they should be able to void the contract. I'm sorry.
I agree.
Because now, listen, Atlanta's in a hole now. They started the season off 0-7. They're 1-8 at this point. And now the big key acquisition they made in the offseason is now out for half of it and can't play in the playoffs if they should get there. So I think it's ridiculous, and I feel like the Braves should have the opportunity to maybe void the contract. But listen, that's a union thing, and I don't think I don't think the Players Association or MLB, I don't think they're ever going to go down that road. So unfortunately, it is what it is. I would love to see it, though, because, I mean, why not at this point, you know? Listen, he's going to be fine anyway. 80 games without pay. What does it matter to him? He's a multimillionaire. What's the difference?
Right.
You know, so is he really hurting all that much? Not counting anybody's money, but, I mean, listen, not getting paid for 80 days, regardless of what you do, probably does hurt, but it is what it is. I mean, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes, and then you want to sit here and say that I didn't know what – okay, yeah, I didn't know what I was taking, sure.
Yeah, and that's the one problem that I have, you know, that you're going to say that you didn't know, and then, you know, you wouldn't willingly cheat the game that you love, and then you say, I accept the fate that was given to me by the MLB. If you're innocent, I don't know why you would accept that fate. I'd go down fighting. But hey, that's just me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a different breed, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I can't say I disagree, but hey, listen, you know what, Profar, you've just given me a new reason to boo at you when you come into town to play my boys. So I'll just leave it there. But hey, guys, look, again, in the comment section, I'm not going to do the whole spiel. You already know it. I'm sure you know it by heart by now. Give us your thoughts on the situation. Do you think it's a little ridiculous? Do you think it's, what do you think of the suspension in general? Where do you guys stand on it? But we're going to move on now to, we've had obviously some unfortunate news. In baseball, we've lost a couple of guys due to injury. Joe, who are the guys that are going to be out for a little bit of time?
So, unfortunately, Blake Snell for the Dodgers has some shoulder inflammation that he's been dealing with, and he's going to hit the IL for some time. Nestor Cortez is another guy who's hitting the IL, who looked better, actually, in his second start as a Brewer the other day, but he's going down with a flexor strain. George Springer, he's suffering from some back spasms in Toronto. So yeah, we got some guys that are going down. Two big pitchers for their teams going down. Springer's going to be out of the lineup for a little bit. Looks like he's going to be on the 15-day IL along with Cortez. Snell, there's no timetables. He's probably going to take as much time as needed. And as far as Clark Schmidt is concerned, it looks like he's coming back. Hopefully in a couple of weeks. So that rounds out the injury report around the league right now.
Yeah, listen, it's unfortunate. Listen, I know the Dodgers have like 900 pitchers, so, you know, they're down to 899 now. I think they're going to be fine. But listen, that shoulder inflammation, that could be worrisome down the road. We'll see how that plays out. Hopefully it's obviously not too bad because, listen, regardless of talent-wise, Snell is one of the better pitchers in baseball. And you don't want to see these things.
I don't want to shout out the Phillies. I know they're your arch nemesis, but I'm very happy they were able to take 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers this weekend and bring them back down to earth a little bit. And two good teams clashing, and the Phillies won the first battle. So that was actually pretty cool to see that they were able to take 2 out of 3 from a really good team.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, the Phillies, they were close to actually sweeping the series.
They were. I mean, they were right.
And they were in every single game. Obviously, they won 2 out of 3, but the game they lost actually was Roki's first start where he actually looked pretty solid. He showed a little more length. He got through 4. No crying in the dugout this time. I know, listen, we defended him on that because, listen, at the end of the day, he's a 23-year-old kid. That is in a strange place, so to speak, being in the U.S. compared to, you know, him living in Japan.
Yeah.
But you know what? Listen, the Phillies brought the fight. I can't ignore it as much as I'd love to. But listen, they are the ones that broke the Dodgers' unbeaten streak to start the year. So, I'm mixed. I'm in between on how I feel with that because listen, the Phillies won, but it also took down the mighty Dodgers. I think everybody's, unless you root for the Dodgers, I think we're all kind of in the same boat there. But we had some other strange things going on in the Milwaukee and Reds series, and then it was also the tail end of the Reds prior series. But the Reds lost 3 games in a row, 1-0.
It's unbelievable, man. 27 straight innings of no runs between 2 games with Texas and a game against Milwaukee. The Reds then erupted for some runs the next 2 days. They were literally shut out 3 games in a row. I don't think I've ever seen in my days, Mike, I don't know, maybe if you've witnessed the team go 27 straight innings of getting shut out. I haven't seen it, and I thought it was pretty wild. And the more wild thing about it, all the games ended 1-0.
Yeah, I think that was
so they actually pitched very well. You give up 3 runs in 3 games, I'm gonna guess you swept those 3 games. But no, they actually got swept in those 3 games, and they didn't score a single run. So I thought that was a pretty crazy stat for the past weekend.
Yeah, you know that and. The fact that the Giants have only lost 1 game this season.
Yeah, the San Francisco Giants look. Yeah, they look really good right now in the West. That West is shaping out right now. I know through the first almost 10 games of the year to be what we expected it to be, but I didn't expect the Giants to be involved in the talks. I thought it would be the Padres, the Dodgers, and the Diamondbacks. Right now, the Diamondbacks are sitting at 5-5, and they're staring up at San Diego, San Francisco, and L.A. So, pretty interesting like I said, the first 10, you know, almost 10 games in, and the Giants are just, I think they've won 7 in a row.
Yeah, and you know what? They walked off today, and my boy, friend of the Mets, Wilmer Flores, was the recipient of the walk-off, so that's always good to see from Wilmer. Again, I can't stress this enough. I don't care what the situation is. You are welcome back to wear orange and blue at any given time. You know, that fan base, we adore you, so we obviously are rooting for you regardless, and unless we play you. And then, listen, we up 8-0, then you get hit 2 or 3 home runs. It's all fine and good, as long as it doesn't affect the score of the game or the outcome, at least. But, you know, San Francisco has definitely been a shock to me. Well, they're 8-1 now. They look unstoppable, right? They're just finding ways to win games. They're a little scrappy. Their lineup is maybe a little better than we may have thought, honestly. But listen, it's early. Let's let everybody come down back to earth. And in the next few weeks, we're going to see how this shape out. You know what? I don't want to put too much stock into it. You know, listen, they do eventually all have to play each other. So that all should be fairly interesting. But we also got a lot of firsts going around baseball, which was pretty fun. So the first thing that I'm going to bring up is we got our first cycle of 2025. It happened throughout the week. It was the Cubs Athletics series, and Cubs catcher Carson Kelly got a cycle. Wow. I think he might be the first catcher since Benji Molina to do it. I could be wrong, but yeah, who would have thought Benji Molina would have a
that
cycle?
That is crazy.
That, you know what, that comes up on my feed, like on social media, almost as much as the Bartolo Colon home run, because that was like nobody would ever, and Benji did it towards the end of his career, so he was real slow at the time, and he did it against Boston, in Boston, and hit one dead center that took a funny bounce off the wall, and he ended up getting a triple out of it, but I thought that was interesting. you know, so Carson Kelly was the first cycle of the season. I don't think that was on my bingo card. And the Rockies haven't really done much, but they got the first triple play of the season the other day.
And it was like a video game triple play.
Yeah.
It was a ground ball at third, step on third, throw to second, step on second, throw to first. Around
just
the
like
horn,
Coach Drew.
Around the horn triple play. It was
just like the coach draws up.
It was almost like you were in the backyard with a couple of your friends and you're like, let's do a triple play. As if you're joking around, you know?
Yeah, you know, so that was interesting. And we got our first doubleheader of the season and our first doubleheader sweep of the season.
Yeah, the Red Sox really, they tattooed the Cardinals. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they got rained out yesterday and played a double today. I believe the game one was 4-0, and then I'm getting the score up right now. I think it was like 18 they put up on San Luis.
It was, I believe it was 18-3 was the final.
18-7. So St. Louis fought back a little at the end.
They woke up a little bit at the end.
Yeah, St. Louis put up 4 in the ninth to make it 18-7, to make it a little more respectable, I guess. But I don't know who was pitching.
There's nothing respectable about giving up 18 runs. That's
of course not.
No, that's it's like a first half in a football game.
Hey, you know what? Maybe St. Louis found the torpedo bats in the clubhouse or something towards the end.
I think the Red Sox maybe... they had their torpedo bats already, it looks like.
Well, listen, I know we had mentioned it in the previous episode, the rough start that Rafi Devers had gotten off to. He started the season off, I think, like 0-18 with like 15 strikeouts or something along those lines. But he's turned it around. Yeah, he went 4-for-4 in the second game of the doubleheader. He went, I believe, 1-for-4 in game one with a home run. You know, so I think Devers is snapped out of it, and I think we all knew he would. Dude is an animal at the plate. Listen, another guy that may have snapped out of it. I happened to just turn the game on at the right time in the ninth inning. That bad man on the planet, Yordan Alvarez, hit a nuke to tie the game in Minnesota. Houston would go on to actually win that game. But, yeah, so that's obviously a good sign for Houston. And Yordan, I mean, you know, he really struggled to start the season like a lot of other superstars in baseball, and he seems to be turning it around a little bit.
I picked the Rangers to win that division, but I didn't think 8-2 out of the gate. I didn't see that coming, but like I said, I did pick them to win the division. I didn't see Houston struggling as bad as they've struggled a little bit with their, you know, back end of their pitching and some of their offensive issues and some defensive blunders there by Altuve. But other than that, I mean, I'm really surprised with this Ranger team right now. And is it so? It's just really sad to see how good Seattle can pitch and they just can't score runs.
Seattle's just three and seven right now.
It's really unbelievable that you have a pitching staff like that and you're 4 games under 500 to start the, you know, to start the first 10 games of the year. It's just really unfortunate, the negligence that's going on over there on the offensive side of the of things in Seattle. They need a bat desperately and they just don't address it. And it's like the rich get rich and the poor get poorer over there. Seattle just stays stagnant, while the Athletics look like they're trying to rebuild and add some talent. And Texas looks like they're back to winning ways from 2023.
Yeah, listen, Texas is definitely, they look really good. They seem to be clicking. Their pitching has been phenomenal. Actually, another first that I forgot to mention earlier, we got our first complete game, Nathan Eovaldi of Texas.
That's right.
Had a complete game. So, listen, their pitching has been very good. Jack Leiter has looked pretty decent. Kumar Rocker pitched earlier today. He bounced back in a big way. Maybe a guy that the Mets maybe should have signed. But listen, at the time, I'm not gonna sit here and second guess the decision that was made at the time. For those that remember, Kumar Rocker was a first round draft pick of the Mets, and they chose not to sign him because they didn't like what they saw in an MRI or something along those lines. So they decided to opt out and not sign the guy. Listen, I was not mad at the decision at the time. Because you never know what could have happened. Listen, it is what it is. You know, sometimes these things work out where this guy, listen, he's up in the majors now. He's pitching, and he looked, like I said, he looked pretty good today. But, you know, I'm not going to sit here and you know, bang the Mets over the head for it. That, wow, how could you let this guy walk? No, listen, they saw something that was concerning, and their staff old made the decision. Listen, this may not be the best move. Yeah, I understand we're wasting a first-round pick, but, you know, we're really going to pay a guy that might have some issues, so you know, we'll see how that all plays out. But you know, overall, Texas, like you said, has looked good. Detroit's kind of been in the middle for the most part, out in the central. That whole division, I think, is all over the place.
Yeah, they just overtook first place, you know, over the weekend, and they've won 4 out of 5. So it looks like they're waking up a little bit going into that Yankee series. So, and they got you know, two of their best pitchers slated to start the series. So we'll see what happens, like I said, but I think the Yankees played Detroit really well, so hopefully we pitch and we play defense and we score some early runs and we'll see what happens. But yeah, the Central is just all over the place right now. The Twins haven't been, you know, they've been a little underwhelming, and, you know, that division is just so up in the air. I still have Detroit winning the Central, but that is such a up in the air division.
I'm going to, you know what, I'm sticking to my guns in that division. I'm still going to stick with Minnesota. I mean, they're not out of it. Listen, they're 3-6 outside of Detroit, who's 5-4, and Kansas City's 4-5. I'm still sticking with my Minnesota pick. Listen, if those guys stay healthy, Buxton has looked very good so far. I'm happy what I'm seeing with him. I've always been a fan of his. I 5-tool player that just can never stay on the field, so kind of rooting for that. I'm going to stick with Minnesota. Their pitching has been in between. I know Paddock had a really bad start. I think in his last start, he pitched pretty well in his most recent, but he definitely got lit up in his first start. I know that. I remember that specifically because that actually helped me win in fantasy, because the other guy had Paddock, so he lost a ton of points because of that. So that definitely helped me out. That was huge. Overall, and the Cubs bounced back big time. You know, they had the 0-2 start playing out in Japan. They really didn't look good to start the season. Their bullpen was a huge question. Presley almost blew a game not that long ago. And listen, they're playing very well. They're 7-5. They're leading that division. So I've been somewhat impressed with the bounce back from the Cubs. You know, they're hitting, and Kyle Tucker is doing what Kyle Tucker does. You know, so I think he's on his way to a very nice contract come the end of the season when he
becomes. Oh, absolutely. It's he will definitely secure the bag.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's sure. Also it's nice to see the Brewers bounce back a little bit too. They were getting beat up a little bit the first 5 games of the season, and the last 5 day I believe they won four in a row now for the Brewers, and they're back to 500. So you know who's been disappointing? The Reds, with those 27 innings of no runs. It really set them back a little bit. And now they're looking up in the division there as well. They're 3-7, you know, kind of towards the bottom. And I had them picked for the NL Central. So it actually hasn't been their pitching. Their pitching's been very good to start the year. They just haven't got the bats going. So we'll see. That's another division that you never know. So we'll see what happens as time goes on.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, listen, guys. Now I'm going to say it again because I gave you a pass earlier. Diamond Discussion 25, Instagram and Twitter. Corresponding post to this episode. Drop your comments. Or if you guys are too lazy to do all that, comment section of the actual podcast is totally fine. We want to see the engagement. Let us know your thoughts so far on the young season. Where are you guys at? What have been some of your biggest surprises of the season so far? Are you happy with your team? Are you disappointed with your team? Are you already tearing your hair out in the first 9 or 10 games so far with some of the teams? But overall, your biggest shock, I guess, or, you know, are you guys shocked to see a cycle so quickly into the season?
From a catcher?
Yeah, really, from a catcher of all people. And, you know, just everything that's gone on so far, the first triple play of the year, what's been your most shocking takeaway to start this season? You and I definitely spoken about a bunch so far. I mean, you know, obviously the slow starts for some of these guys, Devers and Yordan and Lindor and Soto. And, you know, it seems like these guys are starting to turn the corner. These guys are superstar hitters. They do what they do. I'm not worried about any single one of them. I think they're going to be fine. And you know what? Boston, listen, with a healthy and clicking on all cylinders offense that they have, they could be a very dangerous monster. You know, especially with Garrett Crochet leading the helm. That was my Cy Young pick, and he looks good so far. So I'm happy about that. But, guys, we want to hear your thoughts. And the moment everybody waits for.
Trivia.
The thing that is going to frustrate you until we come back and tell you the answer, unless you guys cheat and Google it yourself. It doesn't seem like you guys have been doing, because some of the answers have not been on. Not what I expected. I expect more from you guys. Come on, let's step it up. So now's your chance. Let's redeem ourselves, and we're giving you a little bit of a bonus action to this question, because we want you guys to make up some of the ground. Some of you that have started off, what is this, our third question? So
I believe so.
Yeah. So some of you guys are starting off the season 0-2. And we're giving you a chance to get back to 500 with the trivia and then the bonus points. So, here we go. Overall, there are 33 members of the 3,000 hit club, but only 3 of them have gotten their 3,000 hit via the home run. Who are they? And, for the bonus aspect of the question, tell me the teams that they played for when they got their 3,000th hit. So there seems to be a little bit of a trend here. I don't know if I'm helping or giving anything away, but 33 members, 3 guys to do it, 3,000 hits. I feel like there's a couple threes maybe mixed around in there. That might be a little hint for you guys.
Listen, like I said, when Mike texted me the question that he had in mind, I got it immediately. So we're expecting a lot from you.
Nerd.
If you're a baseball nerd, you should be able to get this. And you should be able to get the teams, because he asked me what teams they played for, and I gave him all 3 teams. So,
well, 2 of them are relatively easy. I'm just gonna
We'll see. If you, like I said, if you know the game, you should be able to get this.
Listen, I love this question. I thought I was gonna stump Mr. Stumpo, but it didn't happen. I didn't expect an answer.
I did my best Kembe Mutombo impression. No, not today.
but, you know, listen, guys, I can't thank you guys enough, as always, for hanging out with us for almost an hour at a time sometimes and listen to us ramble and talk about baseball and the sport that we love the most. But you guys motivate us to keep going. You know, seeing the views go up, seeing the DMs, and seeing your frustration with the trivia question, it motivates us to keep going and coming up with new ideas to keep you guys interested and motivated to listen to us. We see your DMs and texts saying, you know, where's the next episode? When's the next episode coming? That means the world to us. Really, I can't thank you guys enough for doing what you do, really. This makes this so much more fun that it's just not just two momos just talking nonsense to each other and nobody's listening. No, we could just hang out and do that.
Yeah, it's been awesome that you guys have been interacting with us. And like I said, we see the views going up and people are engaging with us. And it's really a blessing, honestly. It's opened up a great opportunity for us, and it's even better when we get to talk to you guys about some of the topics that we talk about on the show. So we really do appreciate it. Like I said, like Mike said, you know, we're going to keep this going because of you guys. So we love what we do, but we love it that you guys love it more. So we really thank you guys a lot. We really do.
Guys, as always, thanks for hanging out with us.